I'm John Batchelor. Net zero, the ambition of all countries, we're told, at COP28. Net zero by fill in the date. Boris Johnson famously promised net zero at COP26 in Glasgow. Now, 2 years later, COP28 in the petrostate of the UAE is holding up net zero as an ambition for all countries participating, especially Germany. Why? Germany is the leader of the EU. Germany is looked upon as the leader of NATO, absent the U.S. Germany is the powerful manufacturing and banking center of Germany. And I learned from Joe Sternberg. Joseph Sternberg is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal and writing political economics based in London, that Germany's in trouble. Boy, this trouble is so big, I can't come up with a summary. Joe, a very good evening to you. Net zero is Germany's ambition. To achieve that, they've constructed, among others, a special fund to borrow against that won't be put on the balance books, and therefore that they can comply with the European Union mandate that you stay within a certain amount in borrowing when you make your appointment, when you make your report in May of each year. That's as far as I can get, Joe, without getting confused. What has Germany done wrong, and what can they do about it? Good evening to you.
Hey, John, if anything, you were a little too optimistic in your description of what's going wrong in Germany right now. So the overarching problem is that for some years now, Germany has had this ambition to complete what they call a social and ecological transition. It used to be called the Energiewende or the energy transformation. Now it's net zero. The whole point was to reduce the country's carbon emissions to a net level of zero in order to help ameliorate global climate change. And the problem is that this transition in Germany, as is the case anywhere, is astronomically expensive. They have lost count of the hundreds of billions of euros that they have spent over the past 25 years or so on various forms of this green transformation of their advanced industrial economy. And they still have many hundreds of millions of euros left to spend if they are going to finish this process. So that was the problem that they were dealing with. And then the other political constraint is that German voters do actually care about balancing the budget. I think that there are a variety of cultural and historical reasons that this has become a totemic political issue in post-war Germany over the decades. But they have now, since 2009, a balanced budget amendment written into their own constitution, which limits the on-balance sheet debt of the federal government at 0.35% of GDP every year in terms of new debt. So that's the size of the deficit that they can have. And they're supposed to balance the books. And so you might ask, well, how can they be spending this huge amount of money that they don't have on the green transition while still abiding by the constitutional amendment? And the answer is that they had been doing it off balance sheet. They would create all of these special funds. The long German word for it is a Sondervermögen. The point of which would be to create this authority to borrow and spend backstopped by the taxpayer, but because it wouldn't be on the official government budget, you wouldn't have to incorporate it in this calculation for the balanced budget amendment. And that was going great until the middle of November when the country's highest constitutional court finally caught on. And so they now have this court ruling that says, hang on, you can't use these special funds in this way to circumvent this balanced budget amendment, which is called the debt break. The immediate cause of this ruling was a controversy over a 60 billion euro fund. That would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 75 billion US dollars, which is money that they had originally approved for the pandemic emergency and then were going to repurpose for green industrial policy. But now they're discovering that there might be more pots of money, including 200 billion euros that had been earmarked for energy subsidies for households and businesses that they also might not be able to spend. So basically, there's chaos in Berlin right now. Because politicians have been promising voters that they were going to do this net zero green transition, had fudged a bit on this issue of how they were going to pay for it, and now all of a sudden this court ruling isn't going to let them hide the expense anymore.
So good for Germany, it's transparent. But in being transparent, we can see that they do not have a solution to their own problem. I want to stay with the green, however, Joe, because the subsidies necessary for renewables are part of the story here. If I follow your reporting carefully enough, Germany put itself on a green path, net zero now called, some years ago when it did away with its nuclear power plants following the Fukushima tragedy in Japan. Since then, Germany has discovered that renewables are not providing what they need to maintain their manufacturing base. And you report that industry is leaving Germany because they can't count on the renewables to provide. And the Russians have gone missing since the Ukraine war. So part of the problem is their borrowing trickery. But other part of the problem is that they've committed themselves to a policy that costs everybody money. Is that correct?
Pretty much. I mean, fundamentally, the problem is that renewables still are not suitable for powering an advanced industrial economy, and no one can say when renewables will be suitable for that. Because you end up with these problems with intermittency, because you get a lot of power when the sun is shining or the wind is blowing, no power when it's cloudy or still. And the battery technology doesn't exist at scale at this point in order to help you smooth out supply and demand in that way. And this becomes a huge problem for heavy industry in particular. If you are a household, it's inconvenient if your power dips for a minute or so. If you are a heavy industry and you lose power for 5 seconds, that can create enormous problems. And so Germany had prided itself for decades on having the most reliable power supply in Europe. And it's sort of losing that, and that creates enormous economic problems across industry. And this is the sort of problem that I suppose you can solve if you are prepared to throw enough money at it, because you can subsidize businesses and you can subsidize power producers in ways that will help ameliorate some of the worst practical physical shortcomings of this energy transition that they've embarked on. But the problem is that they are now discovering that the money is not going to be available for those subsidies in the ways that they had been planning on. So you now end up getting all of the pain of this green transition with none of the money to try to ameliorate that or just throw some cash at people and hope that they'll stop complaining.
Joe, I think what we've got here is a problem without a solution. If I read you correctly, it's not only about green not being able to play for the subsidies, it's about the budget itself. They're mandated to meet certain standards that they cannot possibly meet if they take the off-balance sheet charges that they've been convenient for many years and put them on the balance sheet. They're done. Does the coalition hold together through this, Joe, even if they can't solve it? Are they going to break apart? Are they going to go to elections?
Well, I think that the key way to understand that question about the politics here is that there is a solution to this problem, which is to abandon the net zero policy, get rid of all of the mandates, scrap all of the subsidies for renewables, and then you can start encouraging the development of nuclear, although that typically requires some subsidies, or better yet, you can go back to allowing the market to meet Germany's power demands using natural gas and cleaner fossil fuels. The difficulty is that solution is going to be anathema to a lot of politicians who have built political careers around pushing for net zero, particularly the left-wing Green Party, which is part of Chancellor Olaf Scholz's governing coalition. So I think that the part of the political problem that you have right now is that this coalition has three parties in it. It has the Greens, has Olaf Scholz's Social Democrats, and then it has the small free market party, the Free Democrats, in it. Two of those parties, the Social Democrats and the Free Democrats, probably would prefer to scale back a lot of the net zero aspiration because they don't like the cost of it and they don't like the effect that it has on industry. The problem is the Greens would struggle to go along with that. So I think that this is going to be one of those classic solutions where now that the cash is not available anymore to throw at the problem, the policy outcome here is actually quite straightforward. It's just that it's going to take a lot of disruption for the political system, the parties to configure themselves in such a way that they can actually deliver that pretty obvious solution.
So you recommend, or the recommendation would be to pause net zero. Does that provide a way out, just pausing it, or do you have to eliminate it?
Well, I think that eventually you're going to have a pause that would end up becoming eliminating this policy priority and sort of shifting your way of thinking about the climate and industry in a completely different direction. And I think that that probably is a majority position among a lot of German voters and among German politicians. It's just that they don't yet have a governing coalition that would reflect that view.
The governing coalition around Mr. Scholz is committed to net zero. Have they talked in any fashion about getting out of this? Have they gone to the German people and say, listen, the courts tied our hands. We have to do this? Anything like that, Joe?
They haven't yet because they haven't really had the time. The court ruling only came down in the middle of November, and it has been absolute bedlam in Berlin since then because this has set in motion so many budgeting fights that they were not accustomed to having. And so I think that there's a real uncertainty about what's going to happen next and what the short-term outcome will be, and even whether Chancellor Scholz's government can survive or whether they need to do a snap election to try to get themselves out of this jam in one form or another. But the reality is going to be that two of the parties in this three-party coalition government are not going to be enthusiastic about diverting money from other priorities to pour into net zero. And the Green Party is not going to be enthusiastic about taking money out of net zero to put into things like social welfare or business tax cuts that would stimulate economic growth. So I think that it is a complete political headache that they've got for themselves now without any obvious solution. But understand that it is a political headache because the policy solution here is actually not that difficult to imagine.
We leave the quandary in Berlin and head towards an EV crisis in London. During COP28, the irony is obvious. Joseph Sternberg is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's based in London. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Nash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.